Welcome to TERP Weekly Edition. This week, we'll take a deeper look into security around campus, including an extended interview with University Police Captain Mark Lemansky. We'll also take a look at how students are preparing for flu season now that the weather is getting a little chilly. But first, we'll take a different look at UMD's homecoming festivities. All of that and plenty more coming up next. TERP Weekly Edition is a weekly, student-reported and produced radio news magazine. TERP Weekly Edition is presented in cooperation with the Philip Merrill College of Journalism at the University of Maryland and the campus radio station 88.1 WMUC-FM. Hey everybody, I'm Brandon Busick and I'll be your host for this week's episode. The University of Maryland is known for having a very diverse campus with more than 500 organizations for students to get involved. Julie Peek takes us to College Park to find out how different student groups on campus celebrate homecoming.
Homecoming at the University of Maryland means many different things to different groups of people. In addition to a football game and parade, many activities go on throughout the week that the campus is less familiar with. For Greek life, homecoming means a week of friendly competition. Karina Song says she loves to cheer on her sorority, Alpha Omicron Pi, and looks forward to the events of homecoming week every year.
A sorority and a fraternity get matched up together, and then they just participate in different events like Greek Olympics and sports and painting a dumpster for recycling awareness and a skit, and it's just like a lot of fun. It's all friendly competition.
Members of the marching band have a little bit different experience with homecoming week. Trumpet player Kim Knipe says homecoming means parades on campus and trying to get the student body to show their school spirit.
During homecoming week, we really just had to play in the parade that happened on Friday. So we started in Lot 2 and we marched all the way through campus to administration and played some of our halftime songs. And then we played at the game on Saturday and a bunch of our alumni came back to celebrate homecoming.
Instead of a homecoming queen or king, Maryland gives out the Spirit of Maryland Award during halftime of the homecoming football game. This year's female recipient, Lisa Davies, says homecoming is an extremely exciting time for the campus.
Well, there's a lot of events. We have a homecoming parade, and I got to be in that too. The band plays in that, and lots of student groups do that. We also have a comedy show every homecoming. They had like a homecoming post-parade party, so there's like lots of events for like students and alumni to do.
Davy says she's sad to graduate, but already looking forward to coming back as an alumni to homecoming next year. For TERP Weekly Edition, I'm Julie Peek.
If you want to get involved in a student organization, check out stars.umd.edu. Make sure you don't let next year's homecoming go by unnoticed. Muggings, break-ins, burglaries. The crime alerts prove that the university students have seen them all. So do students feel safe in this town? And what are police doing to make them feel safer? Leah Villanueva takes a closer look at crime in College Park.
And walked up to this Knox box right next to us, and we were sitting right here, and we saw him like pulling at the door and stuff, and that's my friend's actual house. So he was like, "What are you doing?" And the guy was like, I kind of like turned around, like kind of was weird.
Schultz said the man fled the scene and her friends called the police, who quickly descended on Knox Road and apprehended two suspects.
And they caught them right at the top of the street there. They had like 8 cop cars surrounding them and they had them on the ground and everyone was outside and they like announced, they were like, "Knox box residents, we got them, they won't steal your stuff anymore." So everyone was happy. We were all like, "Oh, we don't have to lock our doors anymore," but that's not true.
Police charged one of the men, Washington resident Andre Gore, with 4th-degree burglary and 2 counts of trespassing the next day, according to the Diamondback. He is set to appear in court on December 9th. While residents say they are glad to know these 2 men are in custody, that doesn't make them any less cautious. And Makunde said he knows all too well that crime can happen anywhere.
A couple of my roommates got jumped down by the metro in September, and one of them went to the hospital. Like, the other two like ran away, and like one ran away, but he got caught, and yeah, they have a bit of a court issue and stuff, and they're looking for the people and stuff, so yeah. Especially after that, and then getting the emails about all the break-ins, like I'm definitely like worried about it.
For similar reasons, several students aren't taking any chances, traveling in groups, and locking up after them. So is College Park safe? What are police doing to keep crime off the streets? What can students do to avoid being victims themselves? I sat down with University Police Captain Mark Lemansky to talk about some of these questions. Right, thank you so much for joining us today, Captain Lemansky.
Sure.
So, from what I understand, as of this summer, crime rates in this area are actually down compared to last year, is that correct?
That's correct. Really, this year we've had a lot fewer incidents reported to us on campus than we have since last year.
But earlier this month, we saw multiple burglaries in the Knox Box area. Mm-hmm. We had three assaults in off-campus apartments one night in September. Mm-hmm. We had an armed robbery a few weeks ago. Are mm-hmm. police more concerned now? Is this even unusual?
I think those were isolated incidents, especially the incidents involving the young ladies in the off-campus houses that were sexually assaulted. It was a very unusual occurrence for our campus. The Knox Box burglaries, they do come in waves. So we saw a situation where an individual targeted that location for a while. He has been arrested. He was given a 3-year sentence. He was let out of jail, came back 3 months later. So he served a 3-month sentence for a 3-year term, committed the violations again, and was subsequently arrested again. So Prince George's is working with the courts and parole and probation to keep him in jail a little bit longer this time.
We mentioned earlier that crime rates are down. What do you attribute that to?
It's kind of hard to pin the causation of that. Crime's down nationwide. Violence is down nationwide, and we're seeing that here in this area as well. We would certainly like to take credit for that. We've taken several steps on campus as far as how we allocate our resources. Our police officers that are on patrol no longer are able to patrol randomly. We have sectorized them. We've assigned them to actual areas of patrol. So that has several advantages. First of all, they provide better visibility, a perception of visibility, officer presence in an area. It also gives a much better response time. When an incident is reported to police, they get to the location much more quickly because they're already in the area. And another advantage is that when an officer works within a confined area on the campus for an extended period of time, they start to get to know the people involved. And those people are now more likely and more willing and more comfortable to go to that officer and talk about problems in the area and issues that they're facing. And that gives the opportunity for the officer to start addressing those from a problem-solving standpoint rather than from just a police response, take a report, and move on sort of mentality, which is what we had done in the past.
So what can students do to prevent crime and to avoid being victims of crime?
Most of the crimes we see are property crimes on campus, and almost all of them are crimes of opportunity. Most commonly, it is a crime of opportunity where a person is at a location, say a library or the Stamp Union. They are set up with their laptop open on the desk, they have an iPod sitting nearby, and they have to run to the restroom or they have to go do a quick errand. And they don't feel like packing everything up, so they leave everything open, they run away for 4 minutes, and they come back and all their stuff's gone. So if a person eliminates those opportunities for the criminal to take advantage of them, then they'll help reduce crime. Same thing goes on in the residence halls. People like to run out of the room, leave their door unlocked, and I'm just gone for a couple of minutes. Well, that's all the time a person needs to be able to look into their room, see their wallet or an electronic device on top of a desk or a dresser, and be able to grab that device and flee the area. Only takes a few seconds.
What about for isolated incidents like the break-ins to the off-campus apartments, the burglaries and robberies mm-hmm. there? Is there any way who lives in those areas could decrease their chance of being struck?
Well, I mean, you could use whatever resources you have available. If you live in an apartment such as a Knox Box that may not be equipped with an alarm system, at the very least, make sure all your doors are closed and locked at night. Even if you're home and asleep, you still want to make sure everything's locked up. Make sure your windows are closed, and if you want to leave your windows open, see if you can get some sort of security device installed in your windows to prevent the window from being opened so far that a person can climb through. When it comes down to somebody physically damaging property, breaking a window, smashing in a door, there is very little a student can do apart from appealing to the owner of the property, the landlord, or the management of the property to see, can you reinforce my door? Can you reinforce my windows? Can you give me some additional security devices to help secure this premises? Apart from that, there's very little a student can do to further protect themselves.
And this hasn't cropped up too much yet this year, but just simply avoiding getting mugged when they go out at night.
Yeah, well, you know, our typical response to that is avoid walking alone at night, try to walk in groups, use public transportation. I know a lot of times that that is inconvenient for people. Some people studying in the library may not be there with friends and may not have the ability to gather folks together to go on a walk. So that's why we have an escort service available. And the number to call for that is 301-405-3555. And anyone can call anytime, 7 days a week, for an escort. And a police aide or a police officer will respond and walk you from one location on campus or to a location off campus within reason to help you get from one location to another safely.
All right. Thank you, Captain Lemansky.
Sure, you're welcome.
Police say we all have a part to play in keeping crime rates down and College Park safer for everyone. With TERP Weekly Edition, I'm Leah Villanueva.
To sign up for crime alerts or read up on crime statistics both on and off campus, check out the University Police's website at www.umpd.umd.edu. It's getting cold out, and you know what that means, flu season. Zach Dadone takes a close look at how students and UMD health officials are preparing for another long winter of sore throats and stuffy noses.
The all-too-familiar sounds of winter, combined with cold weather and high amounts of stress, which has been proven to lower the immune system, the bustle of college life, walking in and out of classrooms, touching desks, doorknobs, and computers, and sharing drinks at parties, creates an inevitable breeding ground for germs and illness. But what can students do to avoid getting sick this winter? TERP Weekly asked Amanda Long, a health official at the UMD Health Center.
You need to be washing your hands with soap and water, warm water, to help kill the germs, and covering your cough. So don't sneeze into your hands and then touch Testudo's nose.
Other things to stay away from?
Don't share beverages if you're at a party. Don't play drinking games where you're going to be sharing common drinking containers because you're just spreading germs back and forth from one another.
And some good news for sick students.
Make sure that you're staying home when you're sick. Don't go to classes if you have a fever because it's something that you could spread. You could be contagious.
The University Health Center offers flu shots year-round for $15 to its students and faculty, but students are conflicted about receiving the vaccination.
I think it'd be a good idea to get a flu shot because I can't afford to be sick because I have so much work.
The only reason I don't really want to get a flu shot is because I'm scared of needles.
For others afraid of needles, the health center does offer nasal vaccinations as well. So when's the best time to get vaccinated?
Right now. Come get your flu shot.
Good luck staying healthy this winter. For TERP Weekly, I'm Zach Dadone.
If you want to find more information or make an appointment, visit www.health.umd.edu. Halloween is a favorite holiday for the college-aged. TERP Weekly's Sarah Katz-Hyman took to the streets to find out what students were going to dress as this Halloween.
TERP Talk!
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 TERP Talk! TERP Talk!
TERP Talk!
TERP Talk!
TERP Talk!
My name's Enrique Ramos, and I'm gonna be a Price is Right contestant for Halloween.
Hi, my name is Janet, and I'm gonna be an angel.
Hi, my name is Evelyn, I'm gonna be a devil.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Siegel, and I'm gonna be one of the Golden Girls with my roommates.
Hi, I'm Josie Goggin. I'm gonna be one of the Golden Girls, Sophia to be exact, and a Puck Bunny.
My name is Matt Brether, and I'm going to be a barber for Halloween.
My name is Matt Higgins, and I'm also going to be a barber.
My name is Pete Beginner, I'm also going to be a barber.
And my name is Christian Gasson, and I'm also going to be a barber.
My name is Sina Shahamadar, and I'm going to be Lady Gaga for Halloween.
My name is Reshma Karyal, and I'm going to be a black cat.
My name is Rohini Chodhur, and I'm going to be a peacock.
My name is Minnie Chen, and I'm going to be Baby Spice for Halloween.
Wait, I don't know what I want to be for Halloween. Can I give two options? I am interested in being either a ferret or the compound word hyperactive for Halloween.
My name is Joey Vandenberg, and I'm going to be the compound word caveman for Halloween.
Hi, I'm Jay Horton. I'm a freshman, and I'm going to be a slutty vampire.
For TERP Weekly Edition, this is Sarah Katz-Hyman.
And that's all for this week. Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of TERP Weekly Edition. To check us out online, stop by twe.umd.edu. I'm Brandon Busick, and be sure to tune in next Sunday on WMUC 88.1 FM.